something went on here, something went on there. And
this time on TNT.
It's the second anniversary of Pierre Lalonde Marianne.
We play a new game, How's It Going?
And it's everyone's favorite call-in show, What Do You Want For That? That's all coming up right now on TNT.
Hey, it's your boy Ronnie Rocks from Hot 88. Guess where I am today? What a beautiful Saturday. We're at Pierre Lalonde Marine, and here he is himself, Pierre, to tell us about the big day you have today.
Hello, Ronnie Rock.
Hi, how are you, Pierre?
Great, thank you. We have lots to celebrate. It's our second anniversary at Pierre Lalonde Marine.
You have tags on everything. I mean, there's from boat floats to boats themselves.
It's as though we have lost our mind with saving.
It's a beautiful place, too. Yeah, we have 1,600 square feet in here.
We have everything that people might want to be on the water.
You even have, I mean, you could come in here if you want to keep your keys safe from the water. You have the little floaty guys there.
Folk, maybe you have been thinking, why don't we spend more time with leisure crafts? Well, now at Pierre Lalonde Marine, during our second anniversary sale, you can get bow rider, bayliner, outboard, inboard, paddleboard, Zodiac, jet ski, canoe.
Take it easy, Pierre.
Kayak.
Yeah, we get it. That's
everything
great.
Is saving.
Holy moly, that is a lot of boats right there. Did you have the thing that you grab onto, you know, when you're pulling behind the boat?
What, oh, yeah, we have the water ski. We have the wakeboard. We have the inflatable.
Wow, really? Those big ones where you put your kids on and they bounce around?
That's right, but we do encourage safety because we don't want people flipping over.
So do you have any giveaways today if people come in?
We are giving away t-shirts from Pierre Lalonde Marianne. And for a limited time only, if you spend over $100,000, we will give away a boat key floaty.
A beautiful shirt too. I'm wearing one myself. It's a little strong, but it's kind of, you know, it's got the nice white and the blue. Is that looks like kind of like the Quebec Nordiques, it reminds me a bit.
I will be honest with you for a minute. My grandfather, Pierre Lalonde Senior, used to own Pierre Lalonde Marianne. And when I took over the business, I found a box of t-shirt upstairs. That's the one you are wearing.
Just one question, Pierre. Just an interesting thing. Where we are, there's not water for, I don't know, 500 miles. Where do you get your clientele?
To be honest with you, things haven't been as busy as I would like, which is why we're having our second anniversary blows out.
That's right. It's actually our second anniversary here. That's a beautiful, beautiful. Come on down. I mean, there's nobody here yet, but we're hoping it's 2 o'clock. Maybe by 3 or 4, some people will come in. Remember that free T-shirts.
Bon joyeux anniversaire to all of us at Pierre Lalonde Marianne. And by all of us, I mean it's me and my wife Gilles, and hopefully some customer.
Thanks a lot, Pierre.
No, thank you, Ronnie.
That's great. You're listening to Hot 88, and we're going to play. Would you like to make a request, Pierre?
Yeah, do you have any Paul Pichet or Michel Rivard? Est-ce que vous avez de Angèle Arsenault?
How about some Mitsu?
Sounds good to me. You know, my cousin met her one time in Sherbrooke. She was a nice person, you say.
Okay, now, here's Mitsu on Hot 88.
Please come to Pierre Lalonde Marine. Is the microphone still on?
Sure.
Oh, good. That was so fun. Thank you so much for coming. Is it okay if I work out your payment in 3 easy installments?
Yeah. I mean, the radio station paid me here.
Plus, you did get a t-shirt.
Yeah, I did.
I mean, could I ask you to move your car?
Yeah, but can I?
Sorry, closer to the building so it looked like their customer.
Do you have a deal if I bought that canoe over there? Maybe
that's a unfortunately, nice I am not in a position to mark down. What I did was I mark up all the boat 400%, and then I marked them down 200%. So my markup is my margin. Is that the word? Mon margin?
Yeah.
My margin.
That sounds
good. Is still good.
All right. Pierre, I got to get out of here. The station wants me back.
Would you mind leaving your car so it looked busy?
Sure.
Jill and I can get it to you later.
No problem. As long as I get a deal on something. Maybe some life jackets?
We don't really carry those since, as you mentioned, there is no water for 500 miles.
Pierre Lalonde.
But
Marine.
We're in Hawkesbury, Ontario, close to Van Cleek Hill, Ontario. And the reason we're here is because we're hosting Bose Oktoberfest.
Yeah.
It is Franco
Ontarian country.
Yeah.
Which is a different kind of Franco-ness. Mm-hmm. So I was going for a walk this morning and I passed a Marien store down on the waterfront and became enamored of the idea of a French Marien place.
Yeah, it's pretty classic.
That was how Pierre Lalonde Marien came to be.
We almost got swept away in a tornado last night.
You're not kidding.
Like, it was insane. We were just got here. It was sunny drive from Toronto all the way here for me.
Crazy drive from Montreal to here for me.
You said it was raining as soon as you got...
Yeah, we both had rental cars. We met in the middle. Mm. And then as soon as we got to the venue, around 6 or 6:15...
Honestly, like coming up the hill to Van Cleek, I just all of a sudden saw dark in the sky. And it was like super black. And then as soon as we got to the venue, they were quarantining everybody in the Kinderfest area. And that was basically like the rest of the night until... What, about 8 o'clock? And we were kind of hanging out, and was it Remy was doing some karaoke jams? Yeah. And that was pretty classic, keeping the morale up. And then the storm was ripping by. Like, you look at the sky, and the clouds were, like, slowly turning. It was ridiculous. And then the flats.
By now, you've heard the stories of, you know, the damage and carnage in Ottawa and Dunroman, which was pretty shocking and scary to see. Mm-hmm. So I think so many things about it. One is, you can imagine for the Bose Oktoberfest organizers having to deal with this event that landed on this day through no fault of their own. Mm-hmm. It is thousands of people that suddenly you have to worry about their safety, and there's a lot of power, a lot of water around. So they ushered everybody into a couple of metal buildings. This was the Canadianity of it all, though.
It was.
Despite the fact that things didn't go as planned or as hoped, people were just having a ball, drinking beer, singing karaoke, dancing, laughing. Usually in a crowd that size at any event, you know, people would start to get antsy or a little too banged up and things could take a turn. Not once in the whole evening did it feel uneasy.
Yeah.
And then the clouds parted, the moon came out.
Yeah, was it the rock school building there where they were jamming and having good times? We actually had some good eats there.
Yeah.
There was great burgers in there. And then the flatliners decided that they were going to do a set on the side stage because the main stage was shut down.
Such buds, because... You can imagine if you're on the lineup, you're supposed to play, you kind of get fired up for it, then it's delayed an hour, then it's delayed 2 hours, then it looks like it won't happen. And it would be just as easy to just kind of pull the chute and say, well, it's kind of beyond my control. But the Flatliner buds were really committed to playing. And the people that stayed were obviously the diehards. I mean, some people are tenting for this weekend.
Yeah.
You can imagine.
People were fired up. And then...
And the Cancer Bats played too, and
yes,
people loved it, man. Yeah, Flatliners are so tight. They sound great.
Yeah, and then we came back here and had a chill and a hang at the hotel and passed out.
Super nice dudes, in addition to being great musicians. Like, class act, nice guys. Can't say enough good things about the Flatliners, their music, and just their general bodness.
And thanks to them for turning on so many people to the TNT.
Yeah, they were first responders.
Yeah.
They were ground floor buds.
Yeah.
So today is...
Chris was saying how much he liked Big Tits Gong.
Yeah.
Really appreciated.
Yeah, he's up to date on his episodes.
Yeah, Chris. That was great.
So today is Fred Penner, which is pretty severe Canadianity.
Yeah.
Weaves, Kingpins, and then Sloan.
That's heavy duty Canadian.
Sun shining, 16 degrees. It feels like October, even though it's still the last week of September. Mm-hmm. Happy fall, bud.
Happy fall, bud.
First day of fall.
I got the K-Way in the bag.
Nice.
Oh, yeah, we're going.
Windbreaker.
Yeah.
Jeremy Taggart.
What?
Has anything like that ever happened to you?
Like a show getting
canceled?
Yeah, it's happened. Like that same stuff. Tornado warnings or lightning. Anytime... There's a lot of people, and there's a steel structure. You just can't take any chances. So, yeah, there's been
temporary structures, too. Like tents in the middle of a field.
That are held up with steel poles around the sides. And if it's raining and any kind of lightning happens anywhere, you can do some real damage.
So just so I understand and people understand, if an event like that makes it impossible for you to play... The artists still get paid, right?
Yes, they call that the act of God clause, which means like it's something that can't be controlled and everybody kind of has to take a hit. Usually there's insurance for stuff like that, so the promoters or the people putting everything together, nobody loses their shirt.
But, well, I would say they still sold a fair amount of beer last night, which is great.
Yeah.
The Bose people handled it really well.
Mm-hmm.
What is the worst weather you've ever had to actually still go on in?
Like, do you ever do New Year's Eve for Global from Niagara Falls or
anything? Yeah, no, we did all those outside, like the snow job up in Whistler, and then, like, snowing. And then I remember playing in Minnesota at a festival. I think it was Faith No More played, like, right after us. So, and it was pouring rain, but everybody in the crowd just started throwing mud for kicks. So it was a whole new level of, like, there was probably 30,000 people, and they were just, like, throwing mud all over the place.
At each other or at the bands?
I have one of my drum kits, my old Canwood kit that I had on that tour, still has mud in it that show. Yeah, like caked in certain places.
Did you guys ever stop a show midway through because someone got bottled or something?
I got hit in the head with a bottle.
Mid-song?
Mid-song, right at the end of Starseed, and I tried to keep playing, but then I couldn't. It hit me right in the ear. It was like a full plastic Pepsi bottle or something. And it was hit me right in the ear and shattered my in-ear monitor. That's how hard it hit.
Inside your ear canal.
Yeah. But didn't, like, that. It just kind of knocked it out and broke it. So there was no ear damage. But it was definitely like a shock where I had to stop. I couldn't play anymore.
So what'd you do? You just finished the song?
Stopped and then just whatever. You know, I don't know if we counted into the last bit again or just went on to the next song.
But you finished the show.
Yeah.
Man, I like to have a good time as much as the next guy, but I often wonder what makes you think, you know what I'm going to do? I'm so fired, I'm going to throw a bottle at a human
being. Yeah, and that's like people that are, that's like nobody's bummed out or like that's just like, hey, this is fun, you know, throwing bottles around, like, or plastic. People, the greasiest thing is people be in a festival and they're stuck out in the middle of a fucking pit for 6 hours, so they'll piss in the bottles.
Oh my God.
And then they throw them.
What?
So there's like a pissed bottle.
Trucker
flying.
Bombs?
Yeah. Yeah, awful. Greasy.
I cannot
imagine.
And if imagine.
You do more, like, it was more, like, the more hardcore the festival, where it's, like, just a bunch of dudes that are banged up and don't care, like, generally, there's a couple we played. I know one in Germany where that was just part of the par for the course.
German beer.
3 days, guys just getting right into things. They've kind of dialed that stuff down now, but man.
I can't imagine being in a crowd and whipping out my horn and doing that Arizona iced
tea
bottle.
No, but you're stuck together with people right beside you, so nobody sees anything. It's just like you're straight down. Just people pounding in the crowd.
Come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
I've seen people pounding like in the front.
Come
row.
On.
Yes. Like the girls like this at the front, the guys behind.
No.
Nobody notices.
Like this is our song. Oh my gosh.
Just ridiculous.
I wonder if those
you're
people...
You're having a great time.
I wonder if those people go with a plan...
No.
...to pound or it just happens.
I think I've seen guys that, like, they didn't know each other before the show and that, like, started.
That escalated quickly.
Yeah. Swinging at the concerts.
Crazy.
It's not a big... I mean, that's over 20 years of playing different shows. Yeah. Like, that's not something you see all the time, but... It has.
So what do you do? Do you point it out to the other guys in the band?
After. You say, did you see that? And it's like, I'm either yeah or no, man, really?
Crazy.
Yeah.
Must have been a weird night for Joel Plaskett, who was supposed to headline last night, and he was on a hot standby at the hotel.
He was right here where we are now, probably just going to A&W or
Thai Express. But getting like texts every 15 minutes going, we're going to make a call in an hour, stand by, we'll let you know. And then it didn't happen, and he unfortunately had to leave for a gig, I think, in Barrie today,
mm-hmm.
So wasn't able to play. But that must be kind of disappointing. I mean, by one side of the token, you still get paid, so it's okay, but
you're there to play and make fans. That's the whole point, especially a festival. That's the best thing. You're not there for the money at these places generally,
right.
Because it's like an opportunity to play to lots of people. So,
well, yeah. The Bose people handled it extremely well because in addition to the safety concerns, there are also practical concerns like what do we do with the food that was being prepared? What do we do with the people who are preparing it? Like how do we keep people fed and safe and dry and all that?
Mm-hmm.
In addition to the disappointment they must have had. But by all accounts, they've had snow, sleet, hail. Last year was 35 degrees and that would present its own series of challenges.
Yeah, heat.
But the people I was feeling for were the vendors.
Because
they came a long way to set up and hopefully move some swag.
Yeah,
and
there's no act of God clause.
There's no act of God for them. So they're just shut down.
Yeah. But I did see people crushing some poutine at a place.
Yeah.
they opened it up, because that was like anybody who was had food. Remember you said there's a guy like, I'm supposed to be selling corn dogs. And you're like,
go get them, bud.
Go bring them in
You
here.
Can charge whatever you want for them. But man, it was really cool to see that morale stayed high. People had fun. Nobody started to get agitated. And it happened on a day that brought some very exciting news for us.
Yeah, how about it? We got a record deal, buds.
We got a record deal. And here's the thing. This is new to you, but new to me. It's old hat for you, but it's going to be music.
Yeah.
I know that sounds crazy, but it's not going to be like just a live
audio talking, speaking word, just jokes. No.
Yeah. It's going to be music. Yeah. And should we talk about the premise for it?
Well, yeah. Might as well. It's on. So like we're basically doing a TNT concept album.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
In the proud tradition of Cheech and Chong and Bob and Doug.
Yeah.
So Jeremy and Jonathan are going to sit the characters from the pod down and tell them that they are each responsible for bringing a song to the record.
Yes.
So that means there will be a Bonnie and the Jets single.
And there will be...
Which I can't wait for.
And there will be a Joe and Gino track.
For sure.
So you know that's going to be classic.
And Laramie's going to bring Andrea in to do backups.
Yes.
She won't necessarily know her freaking mic's on. What do you want me to sound like, Laramie? Like right growly? Or do you want me to sound right scared?
Come on, this is metal, Andrea.
Okay, so like, roar, like that kind of like an angry cat.
And I think one of my favorite is the favorite idea already. I already know this is going to be classic. It's DJ Commander Donnie from Popular Girl has his track called...
You say it.
Okay, guys. They're called the guys.
Okay, guys. They're called the guys.
like that's his jam.
And we can have some like
all crazy EDM madness.
Okay, guys, the cool guys. It's actually getting really hooky.
There may or may not be some drink specials at some point in the jam.
The great thing is because all these characters come from such broad walks of life, the songs themselves totally can be different. Parodies of every genre.
Yeah.
And the songs can have feet, right? Mm-hmm. It can be Wrench. Feet, Andrea.
Yes, exactly. They can mingle in between. And obviously, Donovan is producing it.
Yeah.
Let's not forget.
He's the David Foster of the record.
He's like, it's my ass, if that's what he's saying, right? So everybody's got to bring it.
And he'll have a track on it called, obviously, Rock Royalty.
Yes, yeah. And he'll bring in Phil and... Reverb guy.
And Giuseppe?
Giuseppe. There might or may or may not be an Enigma theme vibe song featuring Giuseppe.
Yeah, and maybe Seth Fisher will have a song called Seth Africa that's kind of like Toto's Africa.
But it sounds like Men at Work.
Yeah, clearly, clearly derivative. We have so many characters, it's going to be hard to narrow them down.
Yes, but it's going to be fun and we can't wait to get started.
And best of all, Timbo... has agreed to come on board and kind of help us.
Yeah, he's going to engineer
navigate
it
our way through the channels.
He's going to like be our guy, basically our Jeff Emmerich for this whole thing,
which is going to make
our Alan Parsons.
It's going to make our live shows so much different
when
we actually have a record to perform. So thanks to Dine Alone Records, which is not a fly by night operation. They're no Piel Alone Marin.
No, thanks to Joel Carrier and the great group at Dine Alone. They're fantastic people,
and obviously Andrew Roach.
They have. You know, some of the best bands in the country, past and present. So
it's crazy.
It's nice to be part of them.
And it's also kind of an unusual idea for them. Like, it took kind of some thinking outside the box to roll the dice on something like this.
Yeah.
So we're really excited about it and hope that you buds are too.
So we're hoping like third quarter-ish 2019, we will have a record and preferably the vinyl experience.
For sure.
Right?
Release it on wax. And then that way when Bodfest happens across the country, our touring festival.
Because then we can have the liner notes.
Like thanks from each of the characters? Andrea, I never freaking thought I'd be writing anything like this. I don't even know what to type. Laramie, I'm right nervous. That's what she's going to type.
Yeah.
Laramie, I'm right nervous. Maybe there'll even be an ad for Piel Alone Marin.
Hey, never Donovan, know. Thanks. The queen. That's it.
Yeah. The queen. Two words. The queen.
Because the queen somehow involved. He did a favor.
Two words. The queen. But we have so many, like, I was thinking about the children's entertainers who make different noises for different animals. Oh, remember we were talking about including those guys?
Yep. Yeah, yeah, that's
the horse says, nay, le cheval dit nip.
Yeah, that's a whole new, is it Jean-Guy and Alex?
Yeah.
It's like the bear of, like, the English-French.
Jean-Guy Pialek. Jean-Guy Pialek, kids duo.
Like ukuleles or something, something fun like that.
This segment of Taggart Pitorins was brought to you in part by Pierre Lalonde Mariam. Hinboard, outboard, paddleboard.
Crunch, 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 crunch. Thanks a lot, baby. Get out of here. Don't let the door hit you on the way out. Crunch, 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 crunch.
Jody? 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 This is the thing that Dr. Schumer was talking about. When people are talking to you, you need to listen, okay? You need to hurry up and finish your cereal, bud, because you're going to miss the bus. Jody? Are you listening to Red Barchetta again? Jody, I'm tired of making hand signals at my teenage son to try to catch your attention.
What?
You're going to miss the bus if you don't finish your Cap'n Crunch.
All right.
Remember, Dr. Schumer said you need to respect your parents and other people when they're trying to talk to you.
Right.
I just wish for once I could have a conversation with my son when he wasn't listening to Red Barchetta, is all. But I guess that's a lot to ask. Anyway, have a good day. Good morning, class. Hope everyone remembered their homework. We're doing a math test on integers, so it seems counterintuitive when a -7 plus -7. I'm sorry, everyone. Let me stop the class yet again, because it would appear as though Jody didn't get the memo every single day of school when I've asked him to please stop listening to Red Barchetta in my classroom. That's why I moved you up to the front row, so I could see you and... Jody... Jody. Jody. Hi.
Yeah?
Are you by any chance listening to Red Barchetta?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you remember, cast your mind back to yesterday when I asked you to never listen to Red Barchetta in my class again? Do you remember that?
Can I stop? Can I listen to this just this one more?
Sure, let's all stop learning just so you can listen to Red Barchetta one more time.
Okay.
No, I know I teach math, but that was sarcasm. Okay, you know what? Everyone has a free period. Oh, House Hunters International Marathon. Finally, home from work. Chance to stretch out my legs, have a stiff scotch. Watch my show, Peace and Quiet. Oh, hey, Jody, how was school, bud? It was good, eh? You know what I'm going to do, Joan? I'm just going to start filling in your side of the conversation. How was school today? You know what, Dad? It was good. I learned a lot. Well, that's great, Jody, because I'm not worried about your future now. Because you used to be a kid that would only ever listen to Red Barchetta when I'm trying to talk to you. But fortunately, you've changed. Oh, wait a second. What fresh new hell awaits? That is Red Barchetta. If my memory serves, that is the song you play every G-damn second of every G-damn day. And God D, Jody, if I have to hear that song one more effing time, pardon my French, we're going to have to make other arrangements for you for where you live. Because your mother and I have had it up to hear with Red Barchetta. Good talk. Jody, did you hear a word that I said?
Huh? What?
How many parents are tangling with Jody every day? It might be my favorite character of yours. Because knowing when to go... Huh? It's actually harder than it would seem. I think about that, though, when I see people driving with their kid in the front seat with headphones in. Yeah. Is that what we're in for?
Yeah, man. I think so.
I would never have done that with my Walkman. Would you? Ronnie's trying to talk to you and you have your Walkman in?
Yeah, I don't know. You'd listen to it, and I think they'd generally be more happy that you're doing that at the time, right? Because you're usually bugging them more than...
I'm torn because Jody is infuriating, but he's kind of endearing, too, because he's just so into Rush, he can't help it.
But just the same song, that's like his therapy. His
over and over again.
It's a safe space.
And Mom trying to float, you know, Dr. Schumer, remember? Remember what Dr. Schumer said?
You notice how he's got no friends or anything? It's always just Mom and Dad.
What a sin. Teachers, too, man, tangling with that stuff.
Yeah.
Kids sneaky texting and uploading chat snats.
Yeah, right? Snappy stuffs.
Snappy chaps in the middle of school? Forget it. No way, no how. There's someone who is a Canadianity staple that we haven't paid nearly enough attention to on this show.
Yeah.
And I'm so excited that we're going to play a soon-to-be ratings juggernaut brand new game.
Yeah. How's it going?
How's it going? It is our chance to do a deep dive on Lawrence Gowan, former solo artist and now lead singer of Styx since 1999.
Yeah.
In a quick skim of his own website, it is some of the best reading I've ever read, like as far as an artist bio goes.
Yeah.
Interesting guy. Not only is his story interesting and his career interesting, but he's really funny.
Yeah.
And you don't often think about that when you think of Lawrence Gowan.
So you want to play How's It Gowan?
More than I want to do anything else ever again.
Okay.
So here's how it works. You're going to say a phrase.
Yeah.
And say, how's it Gowan? And I have to try to guess. And then you'll explain how it's going.
Yeah.
And sometimes it won't be going very good, but hopefully it'll be going great. So for the first time and maybe last, here is How's It Going.
Okay. Want me to start?
Sure.
Okay. Silver Doc Martens. How's it going? Silver Doc Martens. How's it going?
Huh. Okay. I'm gonna guess he owns a pair.
He does, but more specific?
I don't know. How's it going?
He wears silver Doc Martens on stage occasionally with Styx.
How's it going?
That's how it's going.
Wow. This is going great so far.
Yeah.
All right,
can you tell me how it's going?
Princess Diana. How's it going?
Princess Diana.
How's it going?
How's it going?
Jeremy, how's it going?
I'm not sure how it's going.
He played an original piece at the opening of her memorial.
Oh, really?
With the London Symphony Orchestra.
No way.
Yeah, because he toured a lot in, you know, they love the progressive rock over there in the Yerp.
Yeah.
He was over to Yerp. Okay. And so he was tapped to play a piece there. That's pretty good. How's it going?
That is a good how's it going.
That's how it's going.
Okay. The Canadian Ballet. How's it going?
Does he have a kid that goes to the Canadian Ballet?
No, he actually himself studied at one time in the Canadian Ballet.
What?
That's how it's going.
If you watch the video for Strange Animal or Moonlight Desires, he has some crazy martial arts, like dance moves.
That's how it's going.
Side salad of ballet. Love it.
Yeah.
Super Bowl. How's it going?
Oh, Super Bowl. How's it going? I don't know how it's going.
He's the lead singer of Styx now.
Yeah.
Styx has one of the most highest grossing tours in American history. He's been with them since 1999, by the way. They played the Super Bowl twice.
Really?
Yeah. I'm going to guess the pre-show, maybe.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how it's going.
All right. That's a good one. Okay. Born in Glasgow. How's it going?
Was he born in Glasgow?
Well, we thought it was only the Fru, right? That was like the Glasgow guy. Turns out, how it's going? He was born in Glasgow, too.
I don't think, and we'd have to watch an interview with him, but I don't think he has a thick brogue.
Not at all, no.
You can't hear it when he talks.
No, you can't. You can't hear it like that.
I wonder why. Perhaps he was a baby.
Maybe he was a wee little baby.
Like when I lived there for only 12 or I was 4 months old, and then I moved to Scarborough. Both are from Scarborough.
I had a 4-hour layover at the Edinburgh airport in 1996. And ever since I've talked like this, it's kind of weird.
I remember as a child, I never spoke like this. And then I took a quick flight to Edinburgh. And it just stuck with me ever since.
I've always liked Scotch cookies, and I guess the accent stuck.
Ah, she's a diamond sun out there.
Oh, it has to bear. Okay, ready?
Yeah.
Ronnie Hawkins, how's it going?
Ronnie Hawkins, how's it going? Gowan played keyboards for Ronnie Hawkins.
Yes, he did.
That's how it's going.
He toured with the Hawk.
Yeah, early, like before he did the big, like in the 1980 or something.
We had a few like almost made it, and then a couple bumps, and then some really made it.
Yeah, but he's got a solid thing going, man. He's probably one of the most successful Canadian artists there is.
Big
time. Just the fact that he kept going, wheeling on other sides.
Well, and he's obviously killing it with sticks, but would you say that he did or didn't get his due in Canada?
Oh, I thought he got his due in Canada, that's for sure. I think it was more that he didn't crack in America like he probably thought.
Do you think the Moonlight Desires still haunt him? Do they still want him?
I think even a couple of those jams did some action down there, but just not the same in Canada. How about this one? My MTV Cribs was banging, dog. How's it going? My MTV Cribs was banging, dog.
Would Gowan have done an MTV Cribs?
He did.
MTV Canada or MTV?
But on his blog, that's what he said. My MTV Cribs.
See, it's funny, the Gowan.
He's banging, dog.
I love Lawrence Gowan.
Yeah.
That was one of his albums, wasn't it? You Can Call Me Larry.
You Can Call Me Larry. That was when I was on Sony at the same time.
So did you ever cross paths with him?
Yeah, I remember seeing him at, like, you know, the Sony parties and stuff like that.
Like backstage at
How's it Gowan? Him and Corey Hart with Celine Dion.
Oh my gosh.
Like all three of them.
Would you ever drop a How's it Gowan? I wonder if anyone ever has, even by accident, like they got nervous around him.
It's gotta be.
How's it Gowan?
And he's famously always had like tip-top musicians with him.
Really?
Like on his solo record. He had like Tony Levin play with him.
Is he one of those guys that does 4-hour sound checks?
I assume so, yeah.
Like what would Styx pull for a concert tonight?
Well, they play like sold out amphitheaters in the States.
So. Yeah. So is that
40K? 300 guarantees? Probably. So if they 200? I don't know. Anything over 150, you're laughing because they're doing 6 a week or something.
If they dealt him in as the lead singer, do you think he has an equal cut?
I'm sure he's in there, yeah. Probably.
I wonder if Dennis DeYoung knows that he played himself by leaving for Desert Moon.
No, because he does his own stuff, right?
Can he perform the Styx songs?
Yeah. Huh. I remember a funny story about Kim Mitchell said about how Dennis DeYoung was a jerk to him one time or something. Because remember, Max Webster was kind of Frank Zappa-esque. And I guess they were playing a show and Dennis DeYoung had never seen them before, Max Webster.
Didn't know that they played.
And he was like, I liked you guys better when you were Frank Zappa as they're walking off. Just a rip in the guts.
Right into, you know it's you, babe.
Oh, man.
Dennis DeYoung.
His ego exploded, eh? Big time.
Well, I guess, and that's why he left, because he thought he was bigger than the band.
Yeah, and they're like, get out of here, pal.
Interestingly enough, how's it going, Kim Mitchell?
What?
How's it going?
Yeah, how's it going? Did he play with Kim Mitchell, too?
When, and again, I read this quickly, but I think when Gowan signed to CBS Canada Records, Platinum Blonde was on the label too, and the prog rock songs were like 9-10 minutes, and they brought in some popsters to do truncated versions of songs that he'd written, and Kim Mitchell was one of those people after Max Webster was kind of over.
Because
they were both kind of at dead ends for some reason.
Yeah.
That was a bonus one.
That was a good one.
Here's maybe my favorite one.
Okay.
Ringo Starr.
Whoa!
How's it going?
I don't even know how it's going.
It's good, right?
Yeah. How is it going? How's
Strange
it going?
Strange Animal, the bed tracks, were recorded at Ringo Starr's house in France.
What?
Yeah.
How'd that happen?
That's how it's going.
See, that's how it's going. He's one of those guys that just, like,
sneaky.
Has the big Rolodex when he needs it.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I'm just going to snap a call to Ringo and stay at his flat.
I forget how you answered this question. If he becomes a member of Styx, do they deal him in equally?
It could be like some grandfather clause where maybe there's a Tommy Shannon or the, whatever guys that are there might have like some shareholder thing. I don't know. But maybe they said just join. Who knows? It depends.
Because he would have to get a pretty good payday because he has to sing those songs and he has to make them sound
like songs. No, I know. I mean, they might have not got him to join, but I mean, like, Journey didn't do that. They would always, like...
Just hire somebody?
Hire the guy, yeah. I know,
So if you hire a guy, like, what was his name? J.D. Fortune? Who won Rockstar in Excess? Yeah. Tara Sloan was on that show, too, remember?
That's right. No, that was, like, yeah, that's, like, side man
thing. So what does a side man make per night? $1,000?
It depends who you're playing with. If you're playing packed arenas, you're probably making thousands of dollars a week, but if you're playing clubs, it might be $2,000 a week. And you're
like, what if you're on the Mark Knopfler show?
$2,000 a week, but like you're out every night, so you're spending money eating. And
so Phil Palmer, who played guitar on tour with Dire Straits, he's $2,000 a week?
Was he not in Dire Straits? Or
no.
Okay.
Like session no, guy on the road.
No, those guys can make like $10,000-$15,000 a week.
Wow.
Yeah. Like Steve Gadd, for example, in the late 90s when he was playing with Eric Clapton was making $25,000 a week.
Because it's worth it to Clappy.
Or Vinny Caliuta with Sting, same thing. They pay him like $20,000 a week because they know that they could be making that in the studio doing records.
But if you're Peter Gabriel or Sting, to have those guys that are so integral to your sound.
Oh, it's huge.
You can't put a price on
it. Well, yeah, I'm sure Josh Fries is getting paid really well too with Sting now.
What happened to Manu Katché?
He's great.
Who does he play with
I now? Played a show in Paris. He's from France, so that's probably... He's in Europe always, but I played a show in Paris, and I looked up, and there he was, Manu, watching the show. Turns out he was... Karen Kaplan, our American manager, managed him as well. Like, she managed musicians, she managed him, she managed Pino Palladino, the bass player. He was John Mayer now, I think. So yeah, I got to see him, and he was at the show and watch the show and
crazy.
We got to hang out afterwards. And
really?
Talk. Yeah, he was a super nice guy, man.
Did he
one
give
of
me
my
props?
Favorite drummers? Yeah, he gave me big props. But I mean, I at the time he was one of my favorite drummers for sure. Like all those crazy grooves and the Sting records, and he also did.
He had Peter Gabriel, didn't he?
Peter Gabriel. I saw him on the Secret World tour, and then I think that Robbie Robertson record is. Somewhere down the crazy river, that's him.
Somewhere down the crazy river.
That's a wicked drum beat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If bands meet up with each other, generally, do the drummers kind of pair off with the drummers?
Yeah,
generally. Like, those are your people.
Yeah. Because it's just, drummers are just a little bit different. In bands, for some reason, overall, I find that, like, of all the instruments, drummers have a vibe, bass players kind of have a vibe, keyboard players definitely have a vibe.
Really?
Yeah.
What's the keyboard vibe?
I don't know, male keyboard players for some reason, because I've only known a couple guy keyboard players. I also know Robin Hatch, who's a female keyboard player, and I can only say it's the male ones. They're very eccentric and almost... maybe like a genius thing going on. Like,
I wonder
Jamie
if it's
because
most of them came up through like the Royal Conservatory or something.
No, it's apparently, I know Jim Cuddy says the same thing. He's like keyboard players, like they're a rare breed. But he had what's his name in Blue Rodeo, that Bobby Wiseman.
Yeah,
and he was way out there. Have you heard like the original long version of Diamond Mine, like
no.
The bridge? It's like what. Fuck is going on here? And I
piano solo.
Yeah, but it goes on and it's all over the place. And I'm like, this is my guess because that record he left after that record, the Casino, right?
So he fought for that solo.
He was probably like,
all right, take your solo.
The label was like, either we put this out without the solo, or we're not putting it out because it's like 8 minutes and the solo's like fucking crazy in the middle. So they cut it probably, and it was awesome. The cuts. Like, way better than the album version, in my opinion. And I'm sure that's when Bobby was like, fuck you guys.
I know it depends.
That's my guess. That's my only outside interpretation. I've never ask Jim or Greg or any of those guys.
I know it really depends how big a band you're in and how much yank you have. But generally, does the label weigh in on creative stuff like that? Or only if there's something glaring, like a piano solo?
That's what A&R guys, that's what their job is supposed to be, to kind of like spice up or either get direction going or get the band inspired to do something. Never like, do this, here's the chord, like not getting involved with songwriting, but more just like song titles or, you know.
Could
like
you revisit that bridge?
Album idea, artwork, shit, just like stuff that's more kind of creative overall. And knowing A&R guys are the general, well, a good A&R guy is that guy that always knows the best new band. Like, I saw these guys and they're incredible. Like, that's a good A&R person where it's like, he's not relying on other sources.
He's out there.
He just loves music so much that, like, he knows the best stuff before everybody else.
Who picks the single?
Bands, usually. But sometimes an A&R guy just is like Clive Davis. Like, when he first started, that was his thing. He just knew what a hit was and could hear it. For me personally, I like with OLP, I think we just would pick it. You get to know the songs and certain ones feel like, I've always had a pretty good sense for singles, like other people's songs where it's like I hear it and I'm like, that's
the single
gonna be a hit. I remember that Fun band.
Yeah,
them.
Yeah, I saw them at Madison's. No. Radio City Music Hall.
Yeah.
They're awesome.
I did this, like, National Songwriter Awards panel thing where they sent me CDs, and that song was on it, like a demo. And I don't even know if it changed that much. But I heard that, and I'm like, that's a home run.
Yeah.
And they won the thing, or that song ended up becoming massive, like, a year later. They got signed and became huge.
The one with Janelle Monáe?
The big one, their first big
one. Yeah, she sang on that, right? It's the sunglasses on the bar stool. Anyway.
The I'll Carry You Home one.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one.
You know. Yeah, that one.
Hit songs, man.
One last one. How's it going? Tears for Fears.
Ooh, how's it going? Is Gowan with a Roland Olathabal or whatever his
Roland
name is?
Roland Orzabal and Kurt Smith? Tears for Fears, okay.
How's it going?
I inherited a lot of musical tastes from the people that I shared my house with. But Tears for Fears was kind of the first band that really, for me, was like, punched me right in the feelings. So yeah. I listened to Songs from the Big Chair over and over and over again and felt it all. Gowan opened for Tears for Fears in the U.S. in 1986. And that was, so the legend goes, pretty integral to his success.
There you go. Nice. Wrapped it up.
That's how's it going, buds.
How's it going?
Bien la lune, Marianne.
Fucking right, eh?
Hello, welcome to What Do You Want For That on Hot 88. My name's Byron, and it's right easy. All you do is call 1-800-WANT-FOR-THAT. In 1-800-WANT-FOR-THAT, you call me, tell me what you're selling. I'll ask you what you want for that. It's right simple. Let's go to the phone lines. Kenny, you're on the line. What do you got to sell?
Hey, I got a lawnmower here.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Four wheels onto it?
Four wheels, it's clean.
Is it a push mower? Is it electric or gas?
It's electric, a charge.
What, how old is it, would you say?
2.5 years old.
Oh, so it's pretty new.
Yeah.
Newer than 3 years.
Yeah.
What do you want for that?
I'll take 150. 150 for it.
Oh, boys, that's a bit steep. Would you take 40 for it?
Oh, no, no. 130 is the lowest I'll go.
Too rich for my blood. Thanks for calling anyways. Anyway, it's Byron. You're listening to What Do You Want For That? Just call 1-800-WANT-FOR-THAT. Phone lines are opened. Let's go back to the phone lines. Kelly, you're on the line.
Hello. I got a lamp.
A lamp, do you?
Stand up lamp.
How many feet high?
About 5.
5 feet high. Standard.
Yeah.
What color is it to?
Stainless.
Stainless steel.
White shade.
Fingerprints onto it?
No.
Standard plug?
Yeah.
Bulb?
Oh, yeah.
What do you want for this?
$80. I spent $190.
$80?
Yeah.
Would you take 40?
Oh, no, I'd go 70.
Would you go 42?
No, no.
Oh, too rich for my blood. Thanks anyway for calling. You're listening to... What do you want for that? My name's Barn. I like to buy and sell stuff. If you're selling it, I'm Barn. That's my motto. 1-800. Want for that? Let's go back to phone lines. Colleen, you're on to the air.
Hello.
How's it going?
Oh, it's good. I have a new iPhone, an iPhone 7.
Oh, 7, do you?
Yeah.
I got a 4, so I am looking to upgrade.
You got a 4, do you?
Yeah. And the screen's right cracked.
Oh, okay. Well, I got the phone for you then.
Screen cracked or?
Screen's clean, Byron.
Yeah, nothing dirty on there?
No, no.
No? Photos of people or are you going to scrub them off?
I erase it.
Okay. What do you want for that?
Well, it's a 64 gig. I spent $500. I'll get $200.
$200?
Yeah.
Too rich for my blood. Would you take 40?
Oh, no.
43?
No.
Oh, I would go 50.
No.
Thanks for calling. You're listening to What Do You Want For That? With Barn. Call us at 1-800. Want for that? We'll go back to the phone lines. We have time for one more call. This is Colin. You're on the ear.
Hey, how are you?
Not too baggy.
I got a bed. Sealy mattress. And a bed box spring. King size.
Is that a comfort queen?
Pillow top. King size. Sealy.
But a comfort model with a K?
It's really soft. Some of the best sleeps of my life.
How many sleeps onto it?
Oh, you know, I've been here. I don't go out and travel. I took 1-2 vacations. I'd say about 600 days.
Good shape?
Great shape. No,
Grandkids never come over with the bed? Nothing?
No.
Do you ever flip her over or rotate every 4 to 6 months?
I do.
All right, so you take care of her.
No.
What's she sitting on right now? Captain's bed? Low to the ground? On the floor? Box spring?
It's on a frame. A steel frame.
Does that come with it or no?
If you want.
And I did have one more question for you. What do you want for that?
Well, I was thinking a neighborhood of $140.
I take the 100 off it and we got a deal. I'll give you 40.
Oh, I thought you were going to say 100. How about 100?
How about 43?
Nope.
You sure you won't budge on that?
Nope.
Well, thanks for calling. There you go. That's our show. What do you want for that? For this week? I'm your host, Barn. Remember, next week, the same time, you got something to sell, I might be borrowing. 1-800, want for that. We'll be right back.
Let me ask you this right quick, you know what I mean?
We're going to play headlines or headlies.
Yes, good game.
We'll give each other headlines, and all you have to do is guess if they're real or they're lies.
Yeah.
Who's going first?
It's a classic. You go first. I went first the last game.
Okay. Cape Breton couple fight over Tim Horton's breakfast sandwich causes car crash. Cape Breton couple fight over Tim Horton's breakfast sandwich causes car crash.
That sounds like a headline, bud.
That's a headline.
Yeah,
you're right.
Real.
One for
Imagine
one.
Imagine that.
I need to read the article because it just came across the wire from CBC News.
Really?
That's breaking news. But the thing that doesn't make sense is that the picture of the car had police cones around it, and it was in the snow. So I don't know if it just went to trial or this was evidence that came out in the trial. There you go.
Okay. Headline or head lie, Jonathan? Missing woman unwittingly joins search party looking for herself.
That can't be real. Head lie.
Head lie? Missing woman unwittingly joins search party looking for herself is a headline.
Come on.
It's a real headline, bud.
How would that happen?
Where are we looking for?
Oh, we're looking for a woman. Yeah, okay. Like,
well, which woman?
Everyone's walking in a thing. Yeah, she was reportedly wearing a pink raincoat.
Does anyone have a picture of her?
Imagine the moment you found out, like helicopters flying overhead and those volunteer bushwhacking masks.
I was walking around here a couple days ago and never talked to anybody.
Her description actually sounds a lot like you, Cheryl. Okay, ready?
Yeah.
Lady Jack's off to hot start in conference.
Lady what?
Lady Jack's off to hot start in conference.
There's no way that's a head lie, bud.
It's a headline.
It's not.
Yeah, I'm guessing there's like, whatever, the Lumberjacks are the dudes' teams and the Lady Jacks are the females' team.
That's just asking for
they trouble. Knew, though, right?
Yeah.
That's not an accident. Lady Jack's off to hot start in conference.
Okay. Photographers mistake 66-year-old Debbie Harry for Lindsay Lohan. Headline or head lie?
I'm picturing them both in my head. I feel like there's no way that could happen. But I also feel like, I'm talking it out.
Yeah.
I also feel like if you were to come up with two pop culture people, Lindsay Lohan probably wouldn't be one of them. So that's tipping me towards headline.
It's a headline.
Wow.
It's real.
Debbie Harry.
Well, the picture, she's wearing like a hood and like sunglasses. But it's like, yeah.
Did you see there was video of Lindsay Lohan dancing at
I saw that.
Oh my gosh.
It's like Elaine Bennis.
What is wrong with her?
I don't know.
It's a sin.
Smoking heroin, bud.
Was she on the heroin? She's
that's an
she's shooting a show for like
allegedly.
E-Channel or something.
Yeah. This was back in the day. I just know she used to party like crazy.
Yeah.
Okay, is it my turn?
Yep. Yeah.
Canadian man sorry for chugging 8 beers and swimming to Detroit.
I want this to be true, so I'm going headline.
It's a headline. It happened.
It's those little details like
imagine
why was
that? Just getting all banged up and jumping across. I want to go to the what do you want to do? Go to the casino?
Let's go bowling.
Let's go bowling.
I wonder what that distance is. It's actually not very far, is it?
Not far. Not a big deal.
Okay, deer with big rack, female, it turns out. Deer with big rack, female, it turns out.
That sounds out. Like a paper trying to be funny. And I'm going to say that's a headline.
That's a headline?
Yeah. Okay, you ready?
Yes.
Beaver still at large in PEI after felling tree that damaged couple's car. Beaver still at large in PEI after felling tree that damaged couple's car.
Oh my gosh. I'm going to say it's a headline.
It's a headline.
There's a lot to unpack there, as people say.
Like it's still out there and it's like did it
on purpose. Great word though. At large and on the lam are two of my favorite phrases.
Yeah, AWOL.
Puerto Rican teen named Mistress of the Universe.
Oh man. What is that even? Head lie.
It's a headline. It sounds like maybe Lost in Translation, named Mistress of the Universe.
Police looking for a man who used a snow brush to rob stores in Ontario. Headline or head lie, bud? Imagine swinging a snow brush around in the store and the
Have you seen some of the maths?
Stores, not store. Stores.
Multiple.
With a snow brush.
Have you seen some of the maps, though? Like, I had...
I know the big, thick, huge ones.
Yeah,
like
and they unpack, like, Go-Go Gadget styles. Like, it's 3 feet to begin with, but you can get that map out to, like, 5.5 feet.
The snow brush, like, and the other edge is all sharp, right?
It's so cliche Canadian,
but... Do you think he was using the sharp edge? Like, as the...
Well, by the way, I had one, and the rubber squeegee part came off, and it was just like a shiv. It was like a knife on one side and a brush on the other.
That's probably it. He was using the sharp side.
I'm going to say headline.
It's a headline, bud. Isn't that great?
Condom truck spills.
I wanted to think about like the, you know, like the big broom, snow brush, swinging that around. Okay, go.
Hang on one sec.
What?
Condom truck flips over, spills load.
Oh my god. That's the greasiest headline of all time.
Headline or head lie?
That's too hardcore. I'm gonna say head lie. That's like people be offended.
No, it's a headline.
Is that British or something?
I don't know, but do you think the kids working in the, like, headline department at night were giggling? There's no way that gets all the way through and gets printed without someone knowing, right? I could see
somebody, yeah. How many complaints does it take to get shut down?
Did you see a couple of weeks ago, by the way, in PEI, they print the obituaries every day, and a lot of people read it, especially, mm-hmm. I think, people of a certain age who are, like, wanting to see if their friends are still around, or it's a small island, people know everybody. Mm-hmm. So this paper got a lot of complaints because they thought they'd forgotten to publish the obituaries, and the editor was like, it's just nobody died. There weren't any. But people were blowing up the phone of the guy going, you just forgot to put in the obituaries. Nope, didn't forget, bud. Nobody
died today.
So big news in the Torrance household.
Yeah.
We have a new family member.
Yeah.
A new family member.
Yeah.
Kona. Who is an 11-month-old German Shepherd puppy.
Cute.
She was in training to be a police dog, mm-hmm. but she lacked aggression.
Yeah.
So she's 82 pounds of tongue and energy.
Yeah. Is she all fluffy and soft?
Yeah, she is. Yeah. And she's a really sweet dog. But the interesting thing is because of what she was being trained for, she hasn't been disciplined at all because they don't discipline them. They just train them. So that their kennel is their safe space. And when they come out of the kennel, they're really fired up because they think it's time to work.
Oh, yeah.
So she's not used to, like, why don't we just lie on the grass and we'll pat you for a while? She's like, I'm out of the kennel. I'm water skiing behind her, two hands on the leash, trying to contain some of that energy. But not to diss Henry. Henry's kind of gone cold on me because I smell like Kona some of the time. But Henry isn't as easily trained as a dog like Kona. And when you see it like a German Shepherd, how razor sharp they are and how it doesn't take them long to pick up on stuff.
Yeah.
Carol's doing natural horsemanship with this young trainer. And she said of Kona, her mind is so big and working in 100 different ways at once. That just comes out in manic energy because she's like, what's this? What's that? I want to smell this. I want to pick this up.
Yeah.
And she's
That'll settle down probably with age, right?
Yeah. And the good news is because she's 11 months, she can still be trained to do whatever we want. But she's a littlest hobo looking maff.
I love it.
That's she's awesome. Beautiful.
Love it. I can't wait to see her grow into the family and like be like the big guard dog bod of the year, right?
Yeah. They get, apparently around 2 years, they get very protective of their family and really want to have people's backs. That's so now awesome. When I say we're away, but I've left Navy SEALs at the house, I don't even have to anymore.
You just got the big Kona just sitting there waiting.
Yeah, but it's different. You know the little dog experience too, and this dog has, her tongue is probably a foot long, and she's slobbery, and she's drooly, and she's like a giant toddler. She doesn't understand how big she is.
And so she doesn't come in the house.
No.
That's just the way it is.
She doesn't No.
Yeah.
I mean, she'd love to.
Yeah.
But so far, she has never been kept indoors, really. She's a kennel dog. She likes it outside. And her kennel, which is not much bigger than her, is her safe place. She likes it in there. It's toasty. She's happy in there.
For the wintertime?
Well,
I guess when it's really cold, you got to bring them in,
though. Yeah. And we're lucky enough to have some options as far as where she could hang, you know? She could go in the barn or in our garage or...
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's... I've never had a big dog before. It's a different experience. Everything's bigger.
I love
it. The food's bigger.
The poo's bigger. They eat a lot more. And it's like, with Rebel, it's literally a handful of food you put in his bowl. And it's that for the day.
Yeah.
And then you feel the little...
Does he eat twice a day or once a day?
Well, it's just there. And he usually eats most of it by throughout the day. And he doesn't really like it that much. He only eats it when he's, like, really hungry.
So he can nibble at it and come back to it?
Yeah.
He doesn't just pound it all at
once? No. He doesn't really like it. Like, he's always trying to sniff out, like, little bits from everybody else. But
so the one thing that's...
He doesn't eat anything but that.
The one thing that's a little different about this dog, I guess, is that she's, you know, she could be a predator in a certain setting. Does Rebel have that instinct?
Yeah, no, I think, because he mouses, he gets mice, like, he'll chase the rabbit out of the garden. And
really?
Yeah, we were at a farm a couple weeks ago. Lisa's friend Robin and Warren, they're buds of ours. They live up in Creemore. It's this old, beautiful farm that's been there since 1849. Warren's family's owned it.
Crazy.
So anyway, it's an apple orchard, and they have all this. It's a swimming, like a classic swimming hole, and it's just like out of Huckleberry Finn style. It's just beautiful. But anyway, it's chickens too, like 25 chickens. And when we get there, Rebel, I was like, okay, Rebel, there's no way Rebel will catch a chicken. Chicken are, they're so fast. He sees the chicken right away, and they just books it. And they couldn't get away from him. Like, instantly, he's on top of them.
What?
Yeah, like, he would run. I thought they would get away, but they wouldn't. They would just submit, and they just, like, go like this, kind of put their head toward...
The chicken turtled?
Yeah, the chicken would turtle, like, leave me alone, and then he would, like, kind of sniff it, and then all of a sudden, he, like, kind of bit it a little bit on the neck, like, got a taste for... Because he's used to catching stuff, or, like, running after things.
And, so did he want to get stuff going?
Then he was
it?
Like, hey, this thing has some taste to it. I'm gonna get it. Because the previous time we were at their place, some fox or something got in there, and it was a slaughter, killed like 20 chickens or something.
Yikes.
So I guess dogs, it's pretty consistent for them to have like the instinct to want to kill it or whatever. So anyway, we kept him away from the chickens for the rest of the week.
So he wasn't trying to get things going. He was trying to like... Just, like, bang them around a little bit.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but I think he would eat it. I think the dog would...
Does he eat the mice?
Well, we get it away, so, what I mean? I've never seen him finish up what he's trying to start, so...
Kona is fascinated by Copper, Carol's horse, because she has never seen an animal bigger than her before. So her tail's wagging, but she really wants to be up close to him. And, you know, we have a barn cat and we have Henry, and you really kind of have to be careful about how you... Everyone will get used to it,
yeah.
But you don't want anything to shimmy.
Force stuff in there.
Do you know what I mean?
Because Copper could be like, get away from me, and then...
Stomp City.
Yeah, that's not cool either.
This segment of Taggart Pitorians was brought to you in part by Pierre Lalonde Marine. Ju-bom-bom-bom-bom-bom-bom-bom-bom-bom-bom-bom-bom-bom-bom-bom-bom-bom-bom-bom-bom-bom-bom-bom-bom-bom-bom-bom-bom-bom-bom-bom-bom-bom-bom-bom-bom-bom-bom-bom-bom-bom-bom-bom-bom-bom-bom-bom-bom-bom-bom-bom-bom-bom-bom-bom-bom-bom-bom-bom-bom-bom-bom-bom-bom-bom-bom-bom-bom-bom-bom-bom-bom-bom-bom-bom-bom-bom-bom-bom-bom-bom-bom-bom-bom-bom-bom-bom-bom-bom-bom-bom-bom-bom-bom-bom-bom-bom-bom-bom-bom-bom-bom-bom-bom-bom-bom-bom-bom-bom-bom-bom-bom-bom-bom-bom-bom-bom-bom-bom-bom-bom-bom-bom-bom-bom-bom-bom